It's been 2 weeks since we had our last teaching, and in our study of James, which last time we looked at James specifically was 3 weeks ago, we came to James chapter 2, verse 8, which speaks of the royal law and defines the royal law as loving your neighbor as yourself. We talked about James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, within the context of that portion. And as a result of that study, it seemed to me to be really wise to go back and take a look at the royal law and talk about what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. However, in loving our neighbor as ourselves, we see from the scriptures that that's only half the picture, half of what we want to be doing, because that particular instruction begins with loving God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about what it means to love God in that way, to love God supremely. And today, I want to build on that particular teaching and talk about what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. Before digging into that, and we'll start with Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28, let's pray together. Father, these are your words to us, that we are to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we are to love our neighbors ourselves. And I realize how easy the words are to say, and yet how complex and challenging they are to live out day by day. Speak to us. Teach us today what it means to love others as ourselves, that we might do that more akin to what you want us to be doing when we love them this way. Help us also, Father, to see clearly why this command does indeed come out of the command to love you supremely. We need your help understanding this, so I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Luke 10, verse 25, and a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? How does it read to you? And the lawyer answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. We see from this portion of Scripture that God has built his law, in fact, his entire law, on these two commandments. And the first one deals directly with our relationship with God. The second one deals with our relationship to the people around us. And as I did my best to make clear 2 weeks ago, in looking at loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, this second commandment, love our neighbors ourselves, rises out of the first and gains its defining boundaries in the first. And that basically means that even though we are to love others as ourselves, and that's how it's to be done, it isn't simply a matter of loving as others as ourselves, because if it's only that, we will indeed fall short. We need something more noble, something larger, something more compelling to motivate us. And so we are to love others as ourselves for God's sake. We do it to please Him. We do it for His sake. We do it because we love Him more than anything or anything else. And so we are to love others out of loving God supremely. And the reason that this is a truth that is not only possible but expected of us is because who or what we love the most, we please the most. Selfish people love themselves the most. That's why selfishness is pleasing self the most. And so when you love God more than anyone or anything else in your life, you will live to please God more than anyone or anything else in your life. And when we love God the most, He asks us to love others as ourselves. And so we do love others, not on the basis of how they're treating us, or what position they have in life, or what our relationship is to them, but on the basis of our love for God. And that compels us to love them because we do that out of an effort to please God, out of a desire to please God. All right, with these basic thoughts in mind, let's take a look at what it means to love our neighbors ourselves. I want to continue on in Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 29. But wishing to justify himself, the lawyer said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, and in essence, Jesus tells a story. A man, and this man, according to the context of the story, would be a Jew. He would be a Jewish man. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, that's a pretty important part of the story. Jerusalem and Jericho had a road between them. And history tells us that about 12,000 priests and Levites lived in Jericho. Jericho was one of their cities. And so priests and Levites were constantly traveling between Jerusalem and Jericho, going to and from work. A man, who was a Jew, was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down that road at that time. And when he saw the robbed, beaten, and half-dead man, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. Now, this would be a fellow Jew that they were doing this to. But a Samaritan, now this again is an important part of the story because Samaritans were despised as half-breeds and heretics to the Jews. They would be considered almost heathens by the Jews. You remember the time that Jesus was at the well and the woman came to the well and she was a Samaritan and she made it clear that she and her group of peoples, other Samaritans, worshipped differently than the Jews worshipped, a different place. So here's this Samaritan. He knows his relationship with the Jews. He knows he's despised. He knows he's considered a heathen. And he's traveling this road as well. And he was on a journey, and he came upon the robbed, beaten, and half-dead Jewish man. And when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? Jesus asked. And the lawyer said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said to him, to the lawyer, "Go and do the same." This is not completely relevant to what we're talking about today, but I do want to remind you that this story and its answer was Jesus' response to the question by the lawyer, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So keep that in the back of your mind. And Jesus' answer to that question is both, in my opinion, straightforward and simple. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the lawyer gave the answer. Jesus gave the approval in this story. However, that straightforward and seemingly simple answer requires much of us. And I would say so much of us that few believers even approach living accordingly, loving God supremely, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Loving our neighbor as ourselves requires a lot of us. It requires thought time, personal energy. It requires sacrifice. If we are going to live according to the requirement to love our neighbor as ourselves. And it is that kind of reality that I think reinforces the truth that loving our neighbor as ourselves needs to rise out of our love for God. Knowing that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves is not sufficient. That will not satisfy the commandment. Knowing the commandment is not equal to doing the commandment. And believing that our salvation, coupled with God's grace and quick forgiveness, makes it safe to not take this second commandment as serious as we ought, is not enough either. We can choose to believe many things, but this requirement still stands. Love others as ourselves. And when I think about loving others as myself, for me it challenges my selfishness. It challenges what I sometimes think are my rights. It challenges my sense of personal freedom and my privacy. I like some private time. And without any question, loving others as ourselves requires some, at least some, self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice that is inconvenient and uncomfortable for us. So today as we talk about this, we're going to look at some scriptures that give explanation, further clarity to what it means to love others as ourselves. In the story that Jesus tells about the Samaritan who cares for the Jewish man, the basic idea of what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves is this. It is to want for them and do for them what we would want for ourselves and what we would want done for ourselves in the same or similar situation. Let me say that again in very simple terms. To love others as we love ourselves is to want for them and do for them what we would want for ourselves and what we would want done for ourselves in the same or similar situation. That's loving others as ourselves. Now, the first problem with this definition of loving others as ourselves is our tendency to think, and I'm not trying to be derogatory here towards any of us, but just it's our tendency to think in shallow ways. Especially when it comes to seeking and protecting the greater good of the community. We tend to look at individuals. We think of ourselves as an individual. We're really part of a family, part of a larger community. God is a God of community. This is a church made up of individuals, but it's it's a body, it's a group, it's a community. We live in communities. We live in homes with families. We come from families. And our weakness is, and I would say this is shallow thinking, is that we see individuals and not community. And because we lack a view of the greater good of the community, then it is easy to fall short in realistically, honestly, rationally, lovingly applying this love our neighbors ourselves. So let's just sidestep for a few minutes and take a look at this. Take a look at what it means to love ourselves and to love others as ourselves. The first thing I want to make clear is that love is seeking the good of everyone who in any way is affected by our choices and behavior. To love is to seek the good of anyone, to seek the good of everyone who is in any way affected by my choices and behavior. This means that love does not seek the good of one person at the expense of others, unless the only other person is myself and I'm making the sacrifice. Love does not seek the good of one person at the expense of others. For example, when I love myself at your expense, we do not call that love. We call that selfishness. Exactly. Why? Because I'm seeking my good, my happiness, my sense of well-being at your expense. That's selfish. It's not love. And in the same way, when I love you at the expense of the community, it's not love but foolishness based on some other goal than seeking love. In other words, I've got some other goal out there. I'm not really seeking the good of others, seeking to love. Some other goals that might enter in is maybe I'm seeking your approval or your acceptance or some other benefit from you that I want. And so I'm trying to please you without regard to what it's costing others for me to please you. We see this when parents spoil children or when adults appease other adults. We do that at the expense of the community. We hurt the good of the community when we spoil children or appease adults. Some other goals that I might have other than love is maybe I'm trying to avoid conflict with you. Or maybe I'm trying to keep you from being angry at me. And in so doing, I'm making an effort at keeping you happy, but I'm doing it at the expense of others. All right, my point is that this is not love. So when we say to love our neighbor as ourselves, we are not loving our neighbor any more than we are loving ourselves when we are doing it at the expense of others. To try and love one person at the expense of others is foolishness. It's not love. So keep that in mind when we're talking about loving others as ourselves. Because we are not, and I want to emphasize the not here, we are not talking about doing something for others that harms the good of the community in any way. I want to add one more point here. We are not loving God, and we're not loving our neighbor when we do things for others or give things to others or please or appease others in any way that does harm to their soul. Or in other words, that does harm to their faith in God, their obedience to God, and their relationship with God. We are harming them themselves if we think we're loving them in a way that does those things to them. There's a particular scripture that I have found helpful. It's Paul's word to Timothy. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, that the goal of our instruction. In other words, the teaching that Timothy was to give himself to, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Now those words may sound nice but not mean a whole lot to you, and I would encourage you to think about them for a couple months. What is a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith in relation to loving others, to having true love for God and man? And that will help you when it comes to discerning how to love others as yourself. All right, having said that, let's look at some of the scriptures that give us some practical ways in which we can love others as ourselves. I won't read all these scriptures all the way through, but I'll give you the reference. You can look them up later, and we will read some of them. Leviticus 19, 17 through 18. This is the only Old Testament one I'll use. There's many more, but I wanted to keep the teaching time to a reasonable amount of time. So, one from the Old Testament. Leviticus 19, 17 through 18. You shall not hate your fellow countryman. Not hate him in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. By the way, that's the only reference in the Old Testament to loving your neighbor as yourself. It only appears that one time. So from this scripture, we can see that loving others as ourselves means not hating them. It's a challenge to want relationship with others, to want to love others, even when they are making themselves our enemy, when they're mistreating us. But hating somebody is the failure to love them as you love yourself. Loving others as ourselves from this portion means reproving them for their sake. If you are sincere about growing up and coming to maturity, which we ought to be, that's the general direction we ought to go in life, then we want to learn, we want to grow, we want to improve. We want to be corrected. We want to be shown where we're off course, where we're making mistakes, so that we can get it right. And therefore, loving others as we love ourselves is reproving them for their sake and the sake of those they affect by their choices and behavior. For example, if I know you're doing something wrong to me and you've done it on a recurring basis, I could easily figure out, just by taking the time to think about it and observe your life somewhat, that you also treat others that same way. If I don't say something to you, therefore I am making it safe and easier for you to mistreat others in the same way you're mistreating me. So I don't have to say something to you because I'm angry at you or because I simply want you to make my life happier or easier. I can say something to you for the good of everybody you affect, including me. And we see also from this portion in Leviticus that loving others as ourselves means giving them a second or a third or a fourth chance to get it right. We don't take vengeance. We don't bear a grudge. When you want to take vengeance, you're not giving anybody any more chances to get it right. You're just bringing the hammer down right now and trying to let them know that they've done something really wrong. When you bear a grudge, you want bad things to happen to them because of the bad things they've done to you. You don't treat yourself that way. You want a second, third, fourth chance to get it right. You want people to bear with you, to go the extra mile with you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. You have heard the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And most of us know that portion. In fact, the next scriptures that we're going to look at come from the Sermon on the Mount. And in that short portion about, you've heard it said that you shall not commit murder, but I say to you. And as we look at what Jesus said, we realize that again, loving others as ourselves means not hating them. Comes right from that portion of Leviticus, right from the Old Testament. When we hate somebody, we are not going to be kind to them or open to giving them second, third, or fourth chances or wanting relationship with them. We're simply going to want to get them out of our life. Loving others as ourselves, according to Matthew 5, 21 and 22, includes not thinking of them as worthless, so as to refuse to give them opportunity to work their way back into your life. When we decide somebody's worthless, we don't want them in our life. We want them out. It's very easy for us to have conflict with somebody, have that conflict not be resolved in a way that we find meaningful or good for us, as well as them, hopefully. It ought to be. But because it's not good for us, then we don't want anything more to do with them. And we end up despising them, hating them. Loving others as ourselves means always wanting a relationship with them, even though such a relationship may be impossible because of their bad behavior. Remember the father with the son who took the father's inheritance early and left home. The father did not go after the son, but the father always wanted relationship with son, as we see from what happened when the son finally repented and came home. The father couldn't have a meaningful relationship with his son as long as his son had the mindset that took him away from home. The son had to repent and change his mind before the father could have relationship with him. But the father did not despise him. The father did not hate him. The father did not want him out of his life forever. He wanted the boy to come home, and he was happy when the boy came home, and he validated that by how he treated the boy when he came home. So yeah, we're not supposed to commit murder. Loving others as ourselves means not committing murder. Not writing people off, not pushing them out of our life, not wanting to ever have anything to do with them again. We should always want relationship with those around us, even though it may not be possible because of their choices. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. And in essence, what God is saying here to us is that loving others as ourselves means taking the initiative in working out disagreements and differences and conflicts with them. Take that initiative. Don't wait for them to come to you. If you know somebody has something against you, go to them and work it out with them. That's what loving others as ourselves includes. Matthew 5, 27 to 28. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Or in essence, loving your spouse as you love yourself means being faithful outwardly and inwardly. So as not to desire any improper relationship with anyone of the opposite sex. When I think about this truth and I apply it to myself, the reality is, though I may do many wonderful things for my wife and may call it love and may even say to her, I love her, if I am looking and desiring, it isn't her that I love, it's what I'm desiring that I love. It's myself that I love. And that's not loving my neighbor as myself. Matthew 5, 31 to 32. Whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. That's what everyone was saying. But I say to you, Jesus said, that anyone who divorces his wife except for the reason of unchastity makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Or in other words, loving your spouse as you love yourself means remaining faithful to her and loving her even in midlife and old life. The scripture speaks about being true and faithful to your wife in your old age. That's part of loving others as you love yourself, especially those who are near and dear. We don't abandon each other when we get older and want something different or new or other than what we have. Matthew 5, 33 to 37. Again, the ancients were told that you shall not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath. Let your word be your word. Your yes, yes, your no, no. And that's what it means to love others as you love yourself. When someone gives you your word, their word, you want them to keep it. You want to be able to depend on what they say. Loving others as yourself means keeping your word with them. When you say something that you'll do it, you do it. And as the scripture encourages us, we should even keep our word to our own hurt. If it costs us, keep our word anyway. Matthew 5, 38 to 42, an eye for an eye. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. And he goes on and talks about the different expressions, experiences of that. And what he's telling us is that loving others as ourselves means being patient and even long-suffering with others who try our patience or who do not seem to learn the lesson they need to learn fast enough to make our life easier and happier. We go with them the extra mile. We put ourselves out. That's why the word long-suffering is used in the scripture along with patience. Patience is something that we have for a short period of time. Long-suffering is patience 1,000 times over. It's an extended period of patience. It's waiting and waiting and waiting on somebody to come to their senses and do what's right. And again, we have to have wisdom in doing that. We aren't simply giving people the privilege to do harm to the greater good of the community, but we do want to have patience and long-suffering with people. We want to go that extra mile. We want to give up what we have to in order to show them patience and long-suffering in the hopes that they'll come to their senses. Matthew 5, 43 through 45, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, do something different from that, Jesus said. And loving others as ourselves means meeting basic essential needs as needed in spite of the condition of the relationship between you and your neighbor. Loving your enemy does not require feeling endeared to them, but it does require seeking their good when their good is needed to be sought. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 12, verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. That's a basic need. Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. It's a basic need. Meet it. You would want somebody to meet that need in you, even your enemy. I thought this weekend at the capture and death of Muammar Gaddafi. However evil he wanted mercy when he was captured. At least that's the inference from the news reports. To love your neighbor as yourself is to extend that same desire to them, even if it's your enemy. Just as you would want it, regardless of how you've behaved before, pass it out to them. And so, we are to feed our enemy when he's hungry. We're to give him a drink when he's thirsty. We are to love others as ourselves in that way. But we're to go beyond that. Again, Romans 12, in this portion in Matthew, encourages us to pray for and bless those who persecute us, who mistreat us. We are to have such a desire for their good, their well-being, just as we have it for our own, that we would pray for their conversion, for their change of heart, for them to come to their senses and to get right with God and be saved in this life before all is lost for eternity. And so we not only want to feed and give drink, but we want to pray for them, that they would come to their senses and change their ways. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your eye? Or, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, there's a log in your own eye? The essence of this is that loving others as ourselves means putting sin out of your own life, replacing it with godliness as zealously and as purposefully and as persistently as you want others to do the same thing. We can be pretty zealous about other people changing. We need to be zealous about ourselves changing. We need to put in that same effort so that when we are asking others to do what's right, we are leading the way. That's loving others as you love yourself. I think one of the things that is often forgotten, especially in marriages, but also in community relationships, and that is, I can love you best when I know when I'm not loving you well. Now, I may not figure that out for myself, so I need you to tell me about that. We should appreciate, we should value, we should treasure criticism and confrontation and information that tells us how we can better love the people around us. We aren't loving them as ourselves when we give excuses, come up with reasons why we just couldn't do any better. Reminds me of a conversation I had just recently. Young married girl was sharing her frustrations with her spouse, and she was really disappointed that when she tried to explain to him why she had misbehaved and it was because of what he had done, he wouldn't listen to her. And that was pretty frustrating to her. How can we excuse our behavior on other people's behavior? But she was really frustrated that he wouldn't let her do that. That's our nature. That's what we're up against. What we want to learn is to love others as ourselves, and to do that, we need to be serious about changing ourselves first and foremost, and then asking others to do what's right. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin, and do not let the sun go down in your wrath. Loving others as we love ourselves means being honest, and not cruelly honest, not unkindly honest, but honest. As it also says in Ephesians, speaking the truth in love. We want to be gracious, respectful, kind when we tell people the truth, but we should tell them the truth. And we should be honest in all things. So we want to be honest. We want to speak the truth. And we need to put away anger quickly so that we can deal with people in a sensible, loving, caring manner. And one last scripture, and again from Ephesians, Ephesians 4:28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. And here we see that loving others as ourselves means we do not take what belongs to them without their permission. We I do not take what belongs to them without their permission. You may never do that. I don't go into stores and steal. But I have, in my life, been in situations where it's apparent that the person who possesses these things doesn't need them, doesn't want them, doesn't even care about them, isn't even know whether they're there or not, and so I've helped myself, and I've had to face up to the fact that I'm stealing. That's simply taking. I didn't go to them and say, look, you know, this stuff has been here for 5 years, you've never touched it, it doesn't look like you're ever going to touch it, can I take this or that? To love our neighbor as ourselves means we do not take what belongs to them without their permission. To love others as we love ourselves means working to have enough to meet our own needs and to have some left over in order to share with those who are in need. If I were to give you a single scripture that sums up what it means to love others as we love ourselves, I would choose Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. That particular scripture has helped me a lot, and I find it to be a good scripture to sum up what it means to love my neighbor as myself. And so, in summary, let me say this. To love others as we love ourselves is to want for them. Here's where we started. To want for them and do for them what we would want for ourselves and what we would want done for ourselves in that same or similar situation. That's what it means to love others as ourselves. Jesus put it this way, in everything, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets, Matthew 7:12. Let's pray together.